Father God, in Jesus' name, so much. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life for us. We thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit and the empowerment and the fruit that he brings to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your scripture, your word, and we ask you to lead us and guide us in all truth and show us how to apply it to our lives. Lord, we want to reflect your heart in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So some fun stuff to dig into and study, because I got so much scripture. I have a series, so we're not going to rush it. If you guys want to dig into Acts, the book of Acts, the whole book of Acts is phenomenal. But we're kind of going to talk what was going on in the book of Acts chapters 1 and 2. And the book of 1 Corinthians, I really actually want to do a series on the entire thing of Corinthians, because there's so much that opens up for another time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And 12 through 14. Don't skip the middle one, the whole key, the chapter of love to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So today, I'm going to end my series on Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is in 3 weeks, okay? So this is why I want to open this up. I think a lot of churches, we kind of rush through this, or we overemphasize things and we do damage. Anybody been around a culture that sometimes overemphasizes things? Sometimes because we just lost the Father God's heart. We sometimes get in our own interests and we have our own agenda. And I kind of want to clarify that. So last week I talked about the heart of the Holy Spirit. And at the very end, I was trying to hit this key point and it felt a little rushed. And this morning I got up early and the Lord's like, go back. Don't rush through that, because that's the key to everything that you're going to be teaching. So I said, okay, Lord. So I want to talk about the interest of Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son, and Father God in heaven. Because we talked last week, the Trinity, three are one, right? They're one. And they have the same heart, right? And we are called to have the same heart of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and our Father God in heaven. So I want to open up some scripture. Isn't it really good to open up scripture and not rush through something? So we can get something in our heart and make a chiropractic adjustment. Anybody been through a chiropractic adjustment? We're gonna do a chiropractic adjustment in what we call spirit-filled church, which is us. We want all the Holy Spirit we can get, but we need to align with Scripture. Amen. And I'm gonna hit some things that some people are like, "Ooh, I don't know how I like how that felt." Well, that's okay. You know what? We got to get healthy. We got to get adjusted. All right. So there are three primary interests. And this is actually one of my favorite teachings that I got in Bible school. And it stuck with me. How many know if something sticks with you for 20 years, it was supposed to stick with you? So I remember when my professor going into this, and he said, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has three interests that captivate his heart. You know, when you talk to my husband, when you spend time with him, you're going to know what he's interested in. You're going to know what captivates his heart. So when we spend time in the Word of God, this is what he's interested in. The number one interest of Father, God, Jesus, his Son, and Holy Spirit is the lost. The lost and the broken and the hurting. And I'll tell you what, I was a lost Christian for a while that got off track. Anybody that too? And he loves and cares for you. And he loves and deeply cares for those that know nothing about him and don't know his heart. So Father God gave us his only Son. So John 3:16, let's say it. This is the heart of God. For God so greatly and dearly prized the world, this is the Amplified Bible, that he gave up his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So that word perish, when you open up, because once again, isn't it cool how they translate Greek and Hebrew? And there's a couple words that open up this word perish. It means come to destruction or be lost. This is interesting. He gave us his Son so we wouldn't come to destruction and be lost and have everlasting life. So Father God, that was his heart. He doesn't want us to come to destruction. He doesn't want us to be lost, right? He wants us to be found in the kingdom of God. When we're found, we come into the kingdom of God. And his Son, Jesus, allowed himself to be tortured in the worst, most public, nasty way of that time. And I always say this in front of your mother. Come on. He allowed himself, he laid his life down for that horrific way of torture and death so we could be found. Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. And Holy Spirit came that the world would then find Jesus. John 16:7-10. This is the message. It's really more of a commentary. But Jesus said, "It is better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend, Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world." How many people know they think the answer's in the world and it's not? We get lost. Even Christians, they go, "Oh, maybe it's better in the world. I went through a season. Maybe it's," and I just lost my way, right? He's going to expose the error of the godless world, the view of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he'll show them that their refusal to believe in me, Jesus is speaking of himself, is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight. So the Holy Spirit is drawing to say the answer is not in the world. The answer is in Jesus, right? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all have a deep passion that the lost would be found and come into the kingdom of God. Amen? And there is a great vision for the lost that we as Christians are supposed to always have and fight to maintain. And how many people know we as Christians can lose our way? And we can start to think that Christianity is all about me. And it's not. The Lord said to go back to this and really hit this, because what I'm teaching, sometimes people think gifts of the Holy Spirit or overemphasize a certain gift because we want to make it all about me, and it's not. Amen? All right, so number two interest. That was the first interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is about the lost. Number two, the second interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're going to prove it in Scripture, is that we would become filled with the Holy Spirit. And ready for this? Ephesians 5:18, it translates from the Greek, constantly be being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know you can ask and receive the Holy Spirit, and it's not this tingles and it's not goosebumps. It's not a feeling. Did you know we receive salvation by faith? It is not a feeling. You don't have to have a wild experience. Salvation is received by faith. Amen? And the overflowing, filling life of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. We're going to get messy. Don't tell my mom. It's Mother's Day, okay? It says to constantly be being filled, filled, and filled, and filled. And, you know, you can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, but how many people know that sometimes the pressures of life, we start leaking because life is hard and distracting. And that's why we need to be ever being constantly filled, satiated, supplied, in excess, soaked in the presence of the Lord. Through what? The Word of God, through a life of worship, and through what? Stirring ourselves up. Because you know when we get off track, the fruit of a Spirit-filled life is you have a passion for lost and hurting people. You're going to follow where I'm going with this. So the number two interest, okay, so the interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his number one interest is for the lost. That is revealed in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're going to see that everywhere. Okay, the second interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is revealed in the book of Acts. And his interest is what? To become filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and he preached the kingdom of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? John 7:37-39, it is a Spirit-filled life. It's not a one-time thing, guys. It's an everyday kind of thing, right? He says this, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And Jesus said, living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Okay, he was still here on the earth. Holy Spirit came, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, to what? Represent him in us on the earth. He was still here. And he said, guess what? Someone incredible is coming. So Jesus then commanded his disciple to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, ready for this, to witness to other people. What is the purpose of a Spirit-filled life? What is the purpose of maintaining that overflowing, that stirring yourself up in the Word and worship and godly fellowship? is so we can reach the lost so they can become found, right? And we do this empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gives wild, cool gifts that are the ding, ding, dinner bell to the lost, right? Okay? Because it's not about the show. In fact, actually, it's very interesting. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were not to be for the four walls of the church. It was so you can be empowered in the workplace, in Walmart, at the gas station, at your family reunion, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So you can share Jesus with the lost and show the empowerment of Holy Spirit so they would become found. Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, it says this. So the more lost, we're going to talk more about it. All right, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate in 3 weeks. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Unity, unity, unity. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames and tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. Today, listen, if we take this message and make it all about us, this is how we get off track. Today I'm talking about tongues. And everybody's like, okay, you know, when you start talking about Holy Spirit, they go, what's that tongues thing? And honestly, it's been probably so abused and demonstrated poorly, and that's why people are like, mm-mm. First of all, that Holy Spirit, What do we like to do? Like I shared with my family member last week, they got offended with God through the loss of my father, and they said, you know what, Jesus, we're good, but Holy Spirit, you didn't do what I wanted you to do and the way I wanted you to do it. And quote, they said, I'm just going to put him in the box and put him on the shelf. And honestly, it changed them because you can't separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're the same. And their offense because they wanted the Holy Spirit to do something the way they wanted to do it and the way they wanted to do it and how they wanted to do it. And I couldn't explain it. It was a mystery. And it's okay. I think maturity says we don't have all the answers, do we? But when you box off Holy Spirit because you're offended with God or people that have represented him poorly, you will lose the not only the empowerment to reach the lost in our lives, but you will also start to cap off the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the only thing that makes the power palatable. The only thing that makes the power of God palatable, what they want is when it's done in what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Anybody ever try to serve you up something and it just didn't taste good? And we're like, I'm good. Listen, I don't like your boiled Brussels sprouts. I'm not into it. You're going to have to pour a bucket of bacon grease on them Brussels sprouts. I need some love. I need you coated in love and joy and peace and patience and what? Self-control. All right, we're getting back to my message. All right. Signs and wonders are for the lost, right? So this is what happened, and I'll talk about it in depth later. But in Acts chapter 1 and 2, verses 11 through 12, it says that then, when they were overflowing and filled with the Holy Spirit, the lost people heard the gospel being preached in a language of this earth. Many languages is their native languages. It was a sign and a wonder. It caught their attention. I'm going to talk about it more. And then Peter was empowered. Something in his life was changing. When you're overflowing and filled and just like every day going, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want to be filled with the word. I want to be stirred up, right? And I'll tell you, fellowship stirs you up. If you think one little dabble do you on Sunday is enough to keep you stirred up, listen, you need strong Christian friends to stir you up. When you're, tell you what, Monday will hit you like a smack in the face. I worked customer service for 6 years. Christians are jerks. I need people to remind me that God is good and God still puts good people in your life. Okay? Amen. Something changes when we're living this constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit life, right? We are overflowing with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and there's gifts too. And you don't get to pick. God just gives you what you need, what he's called you to. So don't get jealous for other people's gifts. I'll talk more. Okay, here we go. Peter was empowered and emboldened. Something changed in him, and he's like, whoa. And he preached to 3,000 people. And beforehand, he was scared of a little teenage girl at a fire circle and denied Jesus, okay? And 3,000 people were baptized, okay? So here's my question. If the number one interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is that the lost will be found and come into the kingdom of God, revealed through the Gospels, if the number two interest is revealed in the book of Acts, is that we'd all be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay living this Spirit-filled, overflowing life where people around you, the world around you changes. How many people know when you're around someone overflowing with Holy Spirit, it affects you? You get wet. Then why, if this is the case, why do we as Christians, when we think the one time dabble, do you? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. We're good. Check the box. Right? Come on. Yeah, I did that thing. And we're not living this overflowing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not overflowing in it. Why do we then turn our attention to the church and not the lost? What? The Spirit-filled life, if the number one interest of the Lord is about reaching lost and hurting people, why do we turn our attention to the church within the four walls of the church in this, oh, here we go, the box. Why do we box them off inside of the four walls of the church? One, two, three, four. Guys, we make our own lives a God box, keep the lid on, and we make the church our excuse to make it all about me, all about what I want to do and my show and my entertainment and my ministry, and this just becomes another box. And we're supposed to get out of the box, our personal box and this box. Oh, but then I'm going to have to use some wisdom, self-control. I'm going to have to not be weird, because if the lost want what I got, I'm going to have to make it taste good. That means I don't get to be all weird and selfish out there. Or in here. Oh, everybody's going to see when I'm kind of pouring out here. All right, here we go. I said there was a third interest. My challenge to, I think, a lot of the damage we've done in churches and Christianity and our own lives today is because sometimes we have made the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is supposed to be a daily thing, I want all of you I can get kind of thing every day. Holy Spirit, what would you have me to do today? And sometimes he goes, I just want you to hang out and talk with me today. I want you to go on a walk with me today. I want you to stir that pot and cook the chili and grill those burgers with me today, because you need to get overflowing, right? And we overflow in his presence, with his presence. We got to be careful not to get in a self-centered immaturity of it's all about me in my box in our church, of the Bless Me Club. I don't want this to be a Bless Me Club. I want this to get filled up, stirred up, overflowing, to get out of this box of the building into your workplace, into your neighborhood, and then the world around us changes. All right. Now, this brings us to the third thing, the epistles, which is the books after the Gospels, right? You know, the rest of the story. They reveal the third interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember, the number one interest is the lost, that the lost would be found and brought into the kingdom of God, right? The second one is that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but guys, Ephesians 5:18 says, constantly be being continually overflowing filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual thing. It's not like this, you know, one-time check your box, sounds good. We're supposed to live it. It'll be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can't force it. Just be available, right? The third interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is spiritual growth. I can hear my professor teaching this 20 years later, that the lost would be found, that we would be living a Spirit-filled life. And number three is that we grow up. Let's just be real. I have a 2-year-old. Everything is about him. Listen, I have some amazing babysitters and aunties on the team of like help me with childcare. I love my kids. They are cute and they're full of love. But right, come on. He's a little all about me right now. Come on. Zeke, do it. My toy, my this, my that. But I love him. Guys, but you know what? That's part of growing up. Come on. But if we're acting like that at the age of 44 years old, my toy, my car, my dollar, my $20 bill, not putting it in there, I earned it, I'm going to go eat it for lunch. Me. This is my time at Walmart. And listen, I struggle with this. I got like 30 minutes to get in and out of BJ's. And sometimes the Lord's like, and there's someone. And now I just need to go. You're not going to get half the stuff on your grocery list in my 30 minutes to go to BJ's, you know, like get the milk and the eggs and that's it. Because I need to go talk to someone. And I'm not going to run up to them and go, you know, that because we do. You're making it weird in the box, guys. You're making it weird in the box. That's not life outside of the box. Is you overflowing with love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, self-control. And there's fruits and there's gifts and there's powerful gifts and you can't force it. You just need to open up your mouth and start talking and just say, is there anything I can pray for? Just make yourself available. But it's wild when you're stirred up in the Holy Spirit and you're doing life with healthy people, it just kind of bubbles up, ready, overflows out of you. But we got to spend time with him. Is everybody following this? I don't know if I'll get to the second part of my message. It's fine. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord because then we won't make the other stuff, the gifts, all about us. The test of true spiritual maturity as we are we maintaining a spirit-filled life, which is a selfless desire to reach lost people and disciple them so they can live this spirit-filled, overflowing life, so they can, ready, here's complete the cycle, grow spiritually, so they can then be empowered to reach lost people and demonstrate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what? Well, so other people can be found and get filled and start growing up. And all of a sudden, this whole Christianity thing's a lot more fun. There are no bored Christians that are discipling people. I haven't met a single bored Christian that is discipling people. Because, listen, people are wildly messy, and messy sometimes fun. But it's a little messy. It takes some time to clean it up. Anybody got kids? You ain't bored. I don't have no time to be. I am not bored. I have no time to be bored. All right. Thank you, Lord. It is time to make a change as I teach these gifts, and I'm not going to overemphasize one versus the other. I think some denominations take one and say, you're a second-rate Christian unless you operate in this gift. That is unhealthy. That is just, did anybody ever get that impression sometimes? I have a friend at another church, another denomination. I met together with lunch from her. We grew up very different in different cultures and church and teaching. And she says, I so desire the gifts. And one in particular, I desire to speak in tongues. I want to. I've asked over and over and crying. And she goes, at my church, I just feel like I'm not like not enough. I'm not good enough because I don't. And I went, that is not the heart of God. I'm going to teach something. Salvation. Anyone that comes to Jesus will not be turned away. Anyone that comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm yours. Did you know you don't have to have a tingly, wild experience? We receive him by faith. It's simple. Romans 10, 9, and 10. I give you my heart. I'm yours. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the grave, and my life is yours. Use me, Lord. Make me more like you. Right? In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive by faith. Did you know people have different experiences? Did you know that some person's experience is going to probably be different than yours? And just because their experience is different than yours doesn't mean yours is any less. It's all received by faith. In the infilling of the Holy Spirit, power comes inside you to reach lost, broken, hurting people. This is seltzer water. Do you know what happens when they infuse it? With I would just call it the power. I've got the power. You know what they put? Come on. What do they do? Everything that pertains to life and godliness is in you. When you say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I'm yours. Did you know you don't have to feel something? Now, I know some people are kind of scratching that little theological, and I was like, just come on. Is it a feeling? We receive him by faith. And when I say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to keep dripping. I'm tired of living this compartmentalized life because we love our little picnic plates. We do not like our baked beans mixing with our fruit salad. Did you ever have a party, like a birthday party, and your spouse invited all your work friends with your church friends? Oh my gosh, what is, I'm nervous. Are they going to make it weird? Are they going to talk about Jesus with like my church friends and my work friends? And, oh, you invited the neighborhood too? Come on. We like to compartmentalize our life. It's less messy. Do you know what the spirit-filled life is? What? Oh, no compartmentalized plates. I love mixing all my food. I don't call it a casserole, then people don't eat it. But I'm just saying, I like it. I like it all mixed up. I have other friends, they don't like their food mixing. But we need, and I use this for youth ministry, family, church, and school. We'll say work. The spirit-filled life is saying this: God, I'm telling you, I know I'm messing with your theology, but I'm gonna teach it this way so when I get the other way, you'll understand what it's all about. Raise your hand if you are tracking with me. The spirit-filled life every day. Constantly be being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it translates from the Greek. Ephesians 5:18 is. All right. I'm going to let you out of the box, out of just my church box, this little box here. Whew. And I don't know what I'm going to do because that's going to be messy, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. I'm letting you out of the box of my life into every area of my life every day. So that the world around me is going to change, but I'm not going to have the power to do that. Now, here's what, okay. Come on, when I get born again, when I've given my life to Jesus, Holy Spirit comes in me. A portion of the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus is in me. You have Holy Spirit. But there's more. I'm just going to say this, and sometimes more comes back to back, and sometimes more comes later. All I'm going to say this is when you get born again, just keep saying, I want more, and there's more. I'm telling you, I'm not a hair splitter. I have friends at almost every church in town, and this is where we start dividing. I'm not going to divide. I'm just going to say this. There's more. And I need more in my life to reach the hurting people in my life, in my neighborhood, my coworkers, and my family. I need the empowerment of Holy Spirit. So what happens is this. Okay, come on. When you get born again, Holy Spirit comes in my life, a portion of Holy Spirit. But this baptism of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to preach in such detail, and yes, we're going to talk about tongues, and that's when people are like, I don't know about this thing. Get the heart of God here. The empowerment comes inside you. You get carbonated when you say, oh, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. You can have every part of me. You are Lord of my life. Baptize me. And then you get carbonated. Now, here's the thing about carbonation. You come to church. You come to Bible study. You know, you just go out to lunch with somebody. You ever go out to lunch with someone? I went out to lunch. I had a great, wonderful lunch after women's prayer. Women's prayer, we're getting stirred up and just excited about it. There was such a tangible, right, Joe? There was such a tangible peace. It wasn't like this wild circus. I mean, there was about that last 30 minutes, there was such a tangible peace and presence of the Lord. And at the end, I was like, I just wanted to keep connecting. So I was like, Rach, let's just drive around until we find something to do. And we're just talking and sharing life. We grab lunch. And then I'm like, let's just get an ice cream because I just want to keep hanging out. And at the end, do you know what's so great? Is you have an opportunity to take steps of action in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to make it weird because I'm not going to make it weird at the Thai restaurant. Or in line at Handel's Ice Cream. What side? You want to go to the other side? This side? This side? When we get around godly Christian fellowship, when we get stirred up, we'll just maybe do 4 weeks. It doesn't matter. When we get stirred up, when we spend time filled up in the Word of God, in worship, in godly Christian fellowship that don't tear you down and say you're not good enough, that says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Come on. People remind you of the gospel, of what you've been set free from, what you've been set free to. You ever get this stirring of just love? Come on, you hang out with Deb, you just feel the love. Can you feel the love tonight? I watched The Lion King for the first time with Zeke. I'm telling you, this is what it's like. Spending time in the Word, spending time in worship, driving in your car. Do you know your worship time can just be driving in your car? Come on. Guys, what's happening? You're getting stirred up. 1 Timothy says, stir yourselves up. Come on. Stir yourselves up. Did you know you can keep the lid on? Did you know you can feel the whirling and the stirring? And there's sometimes we can call a quenching. when you sometimes are just going to have to open up your mouth with that lady that they got tears in their eyes. And you know, you can feel compassion in your heart and you can keep the lid on. So yes, I'm talking about tongues, but I'm also talking about all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. A gift of a prophetic word of encouragement. You're going to have to start talking and see how you can build up, comfort, strengthen them. And what's the Lord want to say in Scripture? You can keep the lid on. But you know what's great is when you just start opening up your mouth. And you just go, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Put your hand on my shoulder. Come on, I'm going to just sing every song. Because I'm telling you, this message was some people's theology a little bit here. Can I pray for you? I don't need to go, oh, I had someone pray for me one time. Now listen, I'm going to joke some stories here. I was going through a really hard time as a teenager. And someone's like, you should have so-and-so pray for you. They're a very powerful individual. Now listen, I'm going to make fun of a little bit. No names. They got normal later. They were weird at the time. I ran into them 20 years later. They became, actually, was my therapist. It was really wild. I never told them the experience I had with them in their early 20s. This is nuts, because they were weird. But like 20 years later, man, they got their theology straight, man. And they ended up randomly being my therapist. My best friend in New York, I said I was going through a really dark season and I needed a Christian therapist. And they're like, dude, so-and-so. I was like, no way. They were the weirdo that when they prayed for me, they put their hand on my head and started pushing and pushing and pushing. I felt like I was in the limbo line. And next thing you know, I was like, dun, 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 dun. I was like, I ain't going down. I don't know what's going on here, but you're just pushing, making it weird. I know, Brad's like, what? This messes with the sound system right now. But here's what's wild. Here's what's so cool. And listen, it did weird me out. It did. I didn't want people to pray for me after that. And I'm going to talk about next week the abuses of not flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit well. Remembering it's about lost and hurting people. I was a hurting, lost Christian at that time. And them making a formula and making it all about them. Come on, anybody, come on. Can we laugh a little bit? I had to forgive them. It was in front of people. They're pushing. They're like, yeah, just shouting in tongues on my head and pushing on my head. And like I'm telling you, and I was like, I'm not going down. Some people say, you're resisting. I'm like, no, it's not even about all of that. It was about a hurting teenager that opened myself up in a vulnerable place saying I needed prayer. And someone thought, I got to do it a certain way. It's got to look a certain way. It's got to look powerful. It's got to look. Freedom looks like this. All right, let's go back to this. When I say, Holy Spirit, fill me up, doesn't matter what you feel or don't feel, you receive by faith all the divine empowerment to do what God has called you to do. All things that pertain to life and godliness are yours. Now, here's my thing. You can choose to keep the lid on. What a boring control freak life that is. Or you can say, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. And any gift, I'll take it all. If you say it's for me, if you say all can prophesy, praise God. Maybe it's not on the up here on a microphone, or you know, maybe it's not up here on the worship team, but we can all sing unto the Lord. You can all teach a Bible study. You can disciple someone in the break room at work. Come on. Do something. Don't force it. Come on. Forcing it does damage. But I'll say this. Open up your mouth. Start praising. Start worshiping. Ask how you can pray for them. Just start repeating scriptures that you've read that day. And what's going to happen is the world around you is going to get wet. It's seltzer water. I used to do this with Sprite. It gets really sticky. I've learned a couple things in youth ministry. It's fine. I was studying and it just felt like I didn't get what I was supposed to really preach. You know, you prepare a whole sermon all week long and you wake up early and God goes, nope. Because we need to get the heart right. And this is my challenge to you today. I am not looking to split hairs and debate people on theology. Let's just all cross the finish line together. There it is. is more. And Holy Spirit says, ask for more. And my challenge to you, are you going to just keep the lid on? Are we insecure? Yeah, we all are, myself included. Are we a little selfish? Yeah, because somebody's got to clean that up. Doing life and ministry with other people. We don't have all the answers. Sometimes we're going to say the wrong thing. Anybody ever saying the wrong thing? And you go back and read your Bible going, that wasn't right. Take some humility. Go, you know how I said that? I read the Bible and it doesn't say that. Huh. You know what that looks like? Humble, unified, godly Christianity outside the box. We'll end early. I'm going to leave on a scripture. We'll do my other message later. What does it say? They were all in the upper room, and Jesus, what, commanded them. He did not lightly suggest. We treat the Spirit-filled life like a light suggestion. And he commanded them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it say in Ephesians 5:18? The Greek, it's a continual. Be constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit to a point of overflow. You know, it was nuts. What'd they do? They go, we should probably get together and pray. So they gathered in the upper room, just an upper apartment. And they all of them got together. So, you know, they probably work in different shifts. So the night shift and the day shift and the second shift, all these different shifts, you know, they're coming in and out, but they're together. And they're praying together for more. This is a recipe for revival. It's called unity. And you know what? I hate religion. Religion, takes scriptures out of context, misquotes people out of context to push their own agenda. And it's filled with criticism and judgment, and you're never good enough. And it's filled with a lot of people forcing things that look nothing like Jesus or the heart of Holy Spirit. And it does damage. But you know what they did? They all got together. They started praying for more. And what happened? Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples as he departed, his commanded them, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power. Carbonation. And with it, the Amplified Bible says ability, efficiency, and might. Right now, I need efficiency. I need Holy Spirit-filled efficiency. Man, I need boldness. I need courage to do all we're called to do in the workplace, in the world, with our neighbors, right? So you can be, why do we need this power? Ready for this? The heart. So you can be witnesses, so you can represent me well, so you can share Jesus with people. So you will be witnesses. The power of God is to be a witness outside the box, the four walls of the church. For me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means in your home, your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, York, Pennsylvania, the world, wherever you go. You go on vacation, you go to maybe go to Hawaii. Did you know that you cannot make it, you don't have to make it weird, but you can sit on the beach with your Bible or your earbuds in and just pray and just get stirred up. And, you know, and talk to your kids or your spouse about Jesus. And then, you know, you go to the cabana and, I don't know, get some French fries, you know, and then you turn to someone and they just, something about them, your heart goes out to them. No, did you know you can open up your mouth and start talking and not know what you're going to say and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say to them. Come on. And the world around you changes. We are empowered to be witnesses. And it comes out in wild ways sometimes. We're going to talk about tongues, I guess, next week. Did you know that there's four different kinds of tongues? There's two for the public. And you know why it has such a bad name? It's because people done it wrong. People done it wrong. And they abused it. And then there's two different ones for private use. And all of them, I'm telling you, it's the empowerment to reach lost, hurting people, Christians and non-Christians alike. and we need the empowerment of the Lord. And you know what? There's all these other wild gifts. Did you know there's also the gift of administration in there? I think it's the unicorn gift. You want to see your church grow and disciple more people, you need administrative people. A lot of them run businesses. Isn't that incredible? My grandfather was president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's. Come on, right? It was incredible. And everywhere you go, right? My cousin's in business. And you know what? Wherever you go, and he would travel, he would be normal. My grandfather was a really cool person. Man, he could tell stories and jokes. He lit up a room. There was love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. He just oozed it. Come on, Phil Cashman, if you know this man, raise your hand. If you get around him and you start laughing, come on, right? Cheryl, you know, you're like one of his daughters. You just get a big old bear hug. And it stirred you up. And he would go tell people about Jesus over business lunches and share. Come on, this is the spirit-filled life outside the box. All right. The Lord, I set you up for next week. Can we just stand up and pray? I'm learning to stop sooner versus later so we don't rush prayer. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 2, 20 through 21, Paul spoke to his disciples. Remember, the three interests of the Holy Spirit. Number one is so the lost would be found. Lost Christians and lost people in the world would not only just come into the kingdom of God, but, oh, man, that we would then, what, the number two interest from the book of Acts, be filled with the Holy Spirit and ever be being filled. And we stir ourselves up, it says this, what, with the laying on of hands. Paul said this, he said, he spoke of his disciple Timothy, the spirit-filled life. We have a desire to reach lost people. We have a desire to get them filled with the Holy Spirit and teach on these things, the fruits and the gifts, and a desire to disciple so that they can, what, tell the people that you can't reach. You can't reach everybody in their family, in their neighborhood. So they can be found and they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and we can all, what, grow up spiritually. And growing up is maturity, and maturity is not all about me or my gift. He said this, Paul spoke of his disciple Timothy, said, "For I have no one like him, no one of such a kindred spirit who is so genuinely, genuinely interested in your welfare and devoted to your interests. For the others all seek to advance their own interest." The others all seek to advance their own interest. My own ministry, my own way of doing things, my personal doctrine. This is the way I want things. For the others all seek to advance their own interest, but not those of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you. And gosh, all of us, We leak under the stress and pressures of life, and we get busy, myself included. And sometimes I'm too tired to talk to my neighbor, and I run inside because I am exhausted. And I need to use the ladies' room. We joke, but for real, guys, even me as a pastor, Lord, we want to be about your interest, and we just repent of just letting other things, other priorities, just the idols of busyness, of full schedules, and all of us work so hard, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, we repent. And Lord, we just ask you, help us to just do life with you, to constantly be being filled with you, to talk to you while we're driving, while we're in the shower, while we're doing dishes, while we're mowing the lawn. Lord God, and Holy Spirit, now just repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me up. That I can overflow into the people around me, that they would come to know you and be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can all grow together and the world would change. To you be all the glory. Amen. So your challenge is to dig into the book of Acts. It will stir you. You will read the book of Acts and you will see the more. And it's all these different gifts. Yes, tongues is in there, and we'll unpack it next week and how it's abused and how it's done right. Don't get weirded out. Read it. Read the book of Acts and go, I want more. And see all these gifts from administration to healing to encouragement. Oh my gosh. I have a family member that every time you get around them, they just encourage you. You go in, gosh, come on, Miss Jurl, you go in, love, you just come out encouraged. It's just like a cheerleading gift. There are all these wild gifts. I want you to say, Lord, I want every gift that you want to give me. Not for me, but for the people around me. So ready? Here's your challenge. Can you pop the lid off in your life? Can you pop the cap off? Let's get hungry for more. Amen. See you next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Happy Monday.